At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we are here with our annual Big Ten tourney preview. Brad Sturdy, fellow Illini guy, along with Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting for Illini guys. We will be talking about the upcoming Big Ten tourney and a few other things, such as the Big Ten all-conference teams and who we think is going to win. We try to map out the Illini's perfect path, and so we're expecting to have an excellent show. So after this quick commercial, we'll be right back.
At Busey Bank, we understand you have a vision for your future, and we're committed to helping you achieve your dreams. Since 1868, we've invested in recruiting and retaining the best and brightest associates. Busey's unique culture is one that values and supports you, provides opportunities for growth, and it's much more than a job. It's a career. Build relationships, build community, and build your career at Busey Bank. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
So thanks for listening through that commercial break. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and of course, as I promised, I've got Illini guy Brad Sturdy, as well as director of recruiting for Illini guys, Kedrick Prince. We are talking Big Ten tourney. So let's take a look, gentlemen. What are you guys thinking? You know, Brad, first off, Illinois plays Thursday at 5:30 on the Big Ten Network, tipping off as the seventh seed against number 10 Penn State, who has given Illinois all types of fits this year. What do you think about that draw before we get started on the game itself? What did you think about that, and what did you think about Illinois' potential path through the tourney?
Yeah, I mean, I think Penn State's a tough draw just because you've seen them just dismantle Illinois twice. Illinois has had no chance stopping them. But I will say this, it's hard to beat a team three times, and you can't expect Penn State to keep shooting like 1,000% against Illinois. I mean, eventually they're going to miss some shots. Jalen Pickett had set a career high for three-pointers against Illinois. You know, the first time they said, you know what, we're going to make him, you know, they were going to force him, but he got other guys involved and they hit a bunch of threes. Well, second time it's like, no, we're not letting those guys go off. Pickett scores 40 and hits five threes. So either way. So I think they're going to have to vary what they do, but I will say that it's hard to beat a team three times. And then if they can beat Penn State, I love their draw. Northwestern is beatable. And then you get like Indiana or Maryland, teams that they can beat. I know they've lost Indiana twice. Same rules apply. Hard to beat three times. And, you know, see what happens. So, I think that's for Illinois, yeah, it's not ideal. I'm sure they'd rather play Wisconsin. But, you know, or somebody like that in the 7-10 game. But the way it works out, you know, it's not a bad draw for them. They just have to go out and play. If they play well, they're going to win those first two games.
Ken?
Well, the seed, to me, I don't really care about because they earned it. They played themselves into a seventh seed, and that's what they deserve because that's what they've done all year. I'm going to take a different approach with this one. I'm going to say it's 2023. I don't really care so much about beating a team three times in a row. I'm going to tell you what I think the deciding factor is going to be. It's going to be on a neutral court. It's not going to be in Champaign when they weren't expecting it, and I don't think they're going to shoot, you know, 1,000% at the United Center. I don't know. Illinois could win the entire tournament. I mean, let's be honest. We just saw them play Purdue in the second half, and they looked like they were one of the best teams in college basketball again. They can beat anybody. But we've seen Purdue, excuse me, we've seen Penn State. They have Illinois' number. They always play Illinois well. I've said it even before the very first game when Illinois lost to Penn State in Champaign. I was really paying a close attention to today what the players were saying about playing Penn State again. And the comment I liked the most was Coleman Hawkins. I mean, yes, they play great, but Penn State has to match them too. And I think you're going to see a different – I know we all talked about this team being built for March, but the intensity I think you're going to see this team bring defensively in the Big Ten tournament, I think is what you're going to see going throughout the NCAA tournament as well. So I'm okay with who they have to play. If you would ask me before the tournament started who I want to play in the Big Ten tournament, I would have said Penn State and Indiana, without a doubt, because those are two teams that you lost to and got swept by, and I don't think those teams are better than Illinois.
Well, I tell you what, you guys are definitely on the same type of logic that my dad used to tell me all the time. You know, you beat him twice, it's hard to beat him a third time. Brad, you know, one of the things I thought has been really kind of a turning point for the Illini, at least when they start playing better, Coleman Hawkins on defense has been just unbelievable how he's kind of been able to, you know, go in and guard a Zach Edey one game, you know, go out and, you know, and guard, you know, point guards the next game. I thought Pickett made some what I thought were really spectacular shots over very good Hawkins defense. Do you, as a coach, I almost think I would have kept Hawkins on him, figuring he is just not going to be able to keep doing that. How do you think Illinois will play Hawkins, against Pickett? Or do you think that, you know, do you think they have a surprise up their sleeve?
Well, I think with Pickett, they're going to have to vary the way they play him. I mean, whether it's ball screens, I think you'll see them maybe, you know, hedge more on ball screens. I think you'll see them maybe trap some ball screens. I think they're going to double him in the post a little bit with certain guys, or dig at least so that he doesn't get set up. So what I like doing, so there's a guy like Pickett. So he keeps his dribble, and there's no 5-second call, so he can just back guys down with the dribble. So what you do is you got to stunt at him, make him pick up his dribble, and then get back quickly. And I think that's what they're trying to do, show and stunt, whatever you want to call it. And then you got to recover quickly, rotate properly. And you saw them do that. They did that with Edey. I mean, you saw them do it this week. You saw them do it with Hunter Dickinson. So they've done it, you know, and that's where I think they can, you know, maybe make some hay, is forcing him to give it up, but still making it different and vary where the help comes from, where the double, where the dig comes from, who's there. And Penn State's going to adjust. They're a good team. They're going to adjust to it and try and make different things happen. The other thing you got to do is you got to score. You got to score against Penn State. The first time they played Penn State, the biggest problem was really, I mean, their defense struggled there in the second half of the stretch. Their offense was bad.
Right.
The second time they played Penn State, their offense was fine. They couldn't get it. They still haven't stopped them. I mean, Pickett's still scoring in that day. Maybe he just kept – and, you know, the one thing I'll say about Pickett, he kept scoring at Minnesota later that week too. I mean, the dude just went on a heater. And you know, sometimes guys are just hot. You know, I mean, I'm sure Texas is thinking and UCLA are thinking, you know, gosh, we'd have beat them if Matt Meyer hadn't gone 5-for-5 or Terrence Shannon hadn't gone 8-for-9 from three. I mean, yeah, you would have. But they did. So on that day, they were better. So now you got to, next time you play him, you hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think that's a good one. Ked, what would you be doing, you know, if you saw Penn State coming against you in Chicago, if you were Coach Underwood?
I would give him different looks. I think the one guy that I hope we see continues to get better in postseason is Luke Goody. He's a different look. He's a bigger guy as well, and he's strong. I'm not saying he's a great defender. The thing that I'm concerned about, and the ideal person is Coleman Hawkins. That's my vote to guard him. But if you're asking him to play 40 minutes Thursday night and then play the next day if they win, you're going to lose something. I mean, I don't care how good he is. Doing that back-to-back days is going to be tough, because they're going to play him. They just are. I mean, what I mean by giving different looks, I know this is never going to happen. I don't know why I'm wasting my breath saying it. I would zone him a few times. Yeah, they can shoot threes, but you know what? He's not going to be able to back you down in the post, and then he's not going to be able to kick it out. I would be cautious of where he is at all times, because this is those same guy that killed you, and you know they're going to do it again. They're going to – because they – if you think about it, from the first time, whether it was Sky Clark, Jay Neves, everybody had a chance to guard him. So if I'm Penn State, I'm thinking, well, hell, they threw the whole roster at me. There's nobody that can get to guard me. But I know Brad's never going to do that. But this is me. It's about winning games. And, yeah, they may not knock down a couple of threes. I think it's easy to contest. But on the flip side, the rotation that they showed against, I think, against Purdue Sunday was the best I've seen in probably 5 or 6 games. They really, you know, they stunt, like Brad mentioned. They were able to get back. And once you could get him to pick up his dribble, that's why I think Coleman's a better matchup, because he can shoot over the top. Is he going to make some shots? Yes. But what I would do, I get him in foul trouble. Keep him on the bench. If he's on the bench, then he can't hurt you.
Yeah, and I one thing I think that maybe sometimes the NBA does a better job than college is they set picks on guys, and they're banking on the switch, and they want that switch to end up in a mismatch. You get the ball down, you know, like I said, have Coleman Hawkins, you know, pick Pickett, or Dane Danger pick Pickett, and then go down to the rim, see if you can get Pickett in some foul trouble. There's a lot of options like that. So Illinois, let's just assume for sake of discussion purposes that Illinois is able to, you know, prove the old adage through that it's true that it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. Now they're playing Northwestern back in Chicagoland. Battle, you know, it's the rubber game to see who's the best in the state of Illinois. Brad, how do you see that one going?
Yeah, another game where I kind of like Illinois' matchup there. I feel like Illinois didn't play very well the first time in the first half, and then they figured out a way. I thought Illinois played for 3 of the 4 quarters. I'll be honest with you, I thought Illinois outplayed Northwestern in 3 of the 4 quarters. Northwestern got to shoot 40 free throws the first time to 10 for Illinois, and the second time they dominated the second half, and they had a bad first half. And Boo Booey just went insane in the first half, which, you know, again, that's, you know, can he do that again? I don't know. So, yeah, I don't dislike that matchup. I think that's a good one. The one thing, I'll go back to what Ked was talking about, who guards pick, and I think R.J. Melendez is the guy. I think you let R.J. with his length, and it allows Coleman, I think where Coleman can be fantastic there as a help defender when he, you know, because Coleman is so good at coming over and his length is just so hard to stop. So that's why I like RJ maybe in that situation, a little quicker to lower to the ground, able to still have the length though to make it difficult. And he's so good at denying the ball and coming off getting through screens. He's become the guy, their best guy at getting through screens and not getting screened. So I would say that, and that's why I like, you know, I think putting him on Boo Booey, like, you know, you saw that happen a little bit in that second half. You saw Terrence Shannon take that. I thought they did a really good job on Boo the second half. So that's where I think you could do with him. I just don't think Northwestern has – I think they have vastly overachieved relative to their talent. And give Chris Collins credit for that. Matt Painter probably still should have been coach of the year, but you know, whatever. Chris Collins did a great job. There's no question. But yeah, I like Illinois' matchup with them as well.
Okay. Ked, what do you think on that?
They don't. I'm not really concerned. I guess. I mean, to me, I'm more concerned about the Penn State game. But I know you know you're moving on and you're trying to look ahead. And I think what could be the deciding factor, which I'm not going to touch on because you're hosting this show unless you bring it up, is maybe who's going to officiate the game, because maybe, you know, the officials thinking, hey, this is a good year for Northwestern, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt of the calls. I don't know, but I probably shouldn't have said that, but that's how I feel with the Big Ten officiating right now. Illinois has way much – they have better talent. I think they're bigger. I just – when I keep saying this, on a neutral court, Illinois can play with anybody. They – you know, and it's in Chicago, they've been there before, and so is Northwestern. And it's going to be a great, great environment. If Illinois can stay healthy, I think that's going to be huge. I don't know what the situation is going to be with Jay Neps, if he's going to play or not. I couldn't tell you. It'd be nice just as a backup. I will, moving forward, Illinois has some really, really good options with RJ and with Luke. And those are two guys that are really starting to come on, I think, that were non-factors at Penn State and when they played Northwestern. Because even though Illinois didn't shoot the ball, RJ didn't shoot the ball well, his confidence level is at an all-time high right now. You can clearly see it. And Luke knows the offense. If you watch him play, you know, people aren't just watching him score, how he defends and he knows when to switch, and you can see him directing traffic along with Coleman Hawkins. It's like having two coaches on the floor now. So I really like that. And those are different looks that Northwestern's going to have to answer, because I think Luke is rested. RJ should be rested because he hasn't made anything, you know, for most of the season. But you really see the athleticism in him. You really do. And the neutral court thing to me is what I'm just going to focus on. And that's why I'm going to give them a chance, because they're not a great 3-point shooting team. And I don't want anybody to try to convince me any different. I'm not sold. If they get hot, yes, they're great. You know, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, whatever you want to call it. But they're going to have to defend and put the ball on the floor and get to the rim.
Yeah, I do think the cool thing about Luke Goody is he had two key plays where he sacrificed his body to tip the ball back into an Illini teammate that were critical when every possession counts against Purdue. You know, and with RJ, just the fact that he's discovered that he can go dunk as opposed to just spend the whole game sitting in the corner waiting. He's now using that athletic skill that we saw last year. And let's face it, in that Houston game, there were moments when it felt like only RJ and Kofi could kind of compete with those Houston players. And we're starting to see that RJ come back again. So let's play a little bit of Fantasy Island now here. So Illinois beats Penn State, then they somehow beat Northwestern. Who are they going to face in that game on Saturday to get to the Big Ten title game?
So I would say that they're going to face Indiana. That's my prediction. I think Indiana is the team to come out there, coming off the double bye. I know Maryland's, the six, right? And so I guess there's always a chance that they could be the one. I don't see – I don't see Minnesota being able to, or Ohio State come through. Wisconsin?
Minnesota and Wisconsin. Yeah.
I don't see either one of those teams coming out of there. I just don't think that they're capable of winning, you know, those two games. So I three games. So I think it's Indiana or Maryland, and I think it's Indiana. I just think the Hoosiers, Jalen Hood-Schifino is playing like a first round draft pick now. And that makes them pretty dangerous. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis is a fantastic player. He's probably the second most dominant player in the Big Ten. So I think it's Indiana. I do think Indiana has some holes. I think that they are not a team they're a team that's beatable. We saw Michigan basically, you know, we saw Illinois almost beat them in Bloomington without Terrence Shannon. We saw Michigan very well could have beaten them this weekend at Indiana. So I think they're very beatable, you know,
yep.
But you know, in Chicago, maybe they, you know, coming off that, Illinois is going to have to be three in a row. So I think they can win that game though. So I kind of like that matchup, to be honest. I think they did a really good job and had a really good game plan in Bloomington.
Ked?
By the way, Ked, you mentioned, you know what Ked mentioned earlier? He mentioned Luke Goody. So it's funny. I talked to Luke after the Purdue game Sunday. So this was the interesting thing. He said, yeah, you know, I said, how are you now? Are you 100%? And he said, you know, I said I was 100% before, but it was more about my own confidence. He said, now I finally am. I couldn't move laterally when I first came back. And he said, now I can. So, you know, sometimes guys tell themselves, I'm fine, I'm healthy, you know, when they come back from injury. But until they actually get out there and do it and get in the rhythm and get in the flow and get work on that, I don't think they're there yet. And I think he's there now. So that's a nice piece to have. So anyway, sorry, kid.
I still can't move laterally at all. Just a news flash. No lateral movement for me.
I know I can't either. So, you know, I guess I'm hoping I'm going to go work with Fletch and maybe break my foot, hoping I can come back quicker laterally.
I think you and I could make Fletch lose confidence. We better not do that to him.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Ed, what are your thoughts on who they're going to face?
Well, I want to comment again what Brad said. And now that he mentioned that, you could see it because if you remember the Indiana game when fans were mad, I get the end of the game with the pressing situation. I think Luke was out and he was going to be in or something with the substitution. This time Brad did that. Maybe Underwood and maybe Luke told him that, hey, I can plant better, I can push off better. Because if you remember when he made that run, he was the guy that got the steal. And so, Brad, I'm going to give you kudos and 1,000% tip my hat to you because I saw him do things, come off screens. I saw him fight through screens, and I saw the way he was planning. So maybe he is going to be 100% healthy. So he could be a wild card. I'm not going to contradict what I said. I said this our last podcast. I think the teams that can do some damage out of the Big Ten is Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan if they get in, and maybe Iowa. And so I'm not going to go through all the other teams, you know, that hypothetically would think, yeah, that you're going to win and get it done. I don't think they have the talent. And the reason I'm picking Illinois and Indiana and those teams, Iowa doesn't factor into this, but they can defend. Indiana's a long team, you know, like Brad mentioned. I mean, they're starting to gel. You got an X factor and Trace Jackson Davis, you know, because he's mobile. He's not a good 3-point shooter, but I like how they put him on the perimeter and how he's like it. If you really think about it, he's a small version of Pickett. Because once he gets the ball in the post, he gets you out there, he can back it out, and he's able to score multiple different ways. So I think it's be Indiana, but I like the chances. But I think when they get to that point, Illinois may be in trouble because they're going to have to play Thursday. And I think that could end up being a big deal with them because, like we said, Coleman's logging a lot of minutes, and I know he wasn't named all-first team Big Ten, but I tweeted, and some people still didn't kind of get it. Coleman is huge, and a huge factor to any team, and I know he'd start because he does the little things. You know, Coach Underwood mentioned, you know, the plus-minuses, and I believe Coleman's the only guy that's ever held Edie to minus all year, so you know, how much he plays and him staying out of foul trouble and being able to facilitate is going to be big. So I like Indiana, Mike.
Okay, so now Illinois goes 3 in a row. Improbable as some fans might believe it to be. Now they make it into that championship game, 2:30 p.m. on CBS, right before the show that will give us the selections and the seedings for the tourney. Who will Illinois face coming out of the other side? Will it be the hot shooting Michigan State Spartans? Will it be the favorite Purdue Boilermakers? Is Michigan going to go on a run? What do you think, Brad?
Man, I tell you what, I mean, I would say that I think it's wide open. I think that side is pretty wide open. The other thing I will say this, I like Purdue. I do like Purdue. I think they have a good draw, but I'm telling you what, if there is a team that I really feel like could do make a run there and needs to make a run, it is Michigan. I really think Michigan is the team that can make a run there, and they're a team that needs to make a run. I think Michigan State might be able to play themselves up a seed line or something like that, you know, maybe, but I don't know. But you know who's playing really well right now on that side of the bracket? Let's see if you guys can guess.
Iowa.
Nope. This team has won 5 of their last 6 games, including wins at Iowa, at Rutgers.
Oh, you said Nebraska?
Nebraska. How about Nebraska? That Tominaga kid or whatever his name is, I don't know, Tominaga, he's gone nuts. Sam Greisel's tough. Derek Walker's tough. They got some kids. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them pull an upset or two.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And so I don't know if they'll come out of that side because I don't think they can win that many games in a row. But, man, this is a team that's won.
They'll be down. They play Minnesota to get to Maryland.
Oh, they do. They're in the 11-14. I thought they were the 12.
No, you've got Ohio State and Wisconsin.
Okay, so Nebraska could – I think Nebraska could upset Maryland then maybe and get to Indiana.
I'm all for a Nebraska-Illinois rematch.
No, I was thinking they were 12. Sorry, I didn't even look at the bracket. But I like – yeah, you're right. They're playing Minnesota. But I like Nebraska right now. I don't think – yeah, I think Michigan State, I don't know. I mean, I felt like they're playing really well. But then at the same time, I look at it and say, you know, their game against Iowa, I mean, that – the way they lost is just heartbreaking. I mean, I just don't know how you – I mean, that was awful. I mean, but what Michigan State's doing is they're just making everything right now. They probably should have won, you know, four in a row. But, again, they're playing, you know, at Iowa where they, you know, should have won. And then, you know, Nebraska and Ohio State at home. I don't know. I think that Purdue comes out of there or Michigan. Those are my two picks, one of those two.
Well, for me, it's kind of – there's going to be an upset, I think, unlike the women's bracket. And if I had to pick, and I know I have to give an answer, I like Michigan State. Izzo is Izzo, and they're playing well late in the season. And I think I'm one of the few people on this planet who likes covers Illinois, whatever you want to call it. I like Juwan Howard. I mean, I don't care if he's, you know, whatever his antics are on the sideline. I think he's a much better coach than people give him credit for. And, I mean, I could be wrong, but I know he's been to a Sweet 16, a Final Eight or something like that. I think his team is capable. You got a really good big man. You got wings. Michigan can shoot it. And that Indiana game Sunday against Michigan, I was surprised by it, but I shouldn't be. I think one of those two teams, you know, I think they'll come out. But if I had to pick and choose, I would say Michigan because they're playing for more. They're playing because they need it more. I think they're going to get in regardless of what people think, but I really think that Michigan needs to get that W. Not the W, but a chance to advance because I think they're good enough. And I think the kids know they're back against the wall. And then once they get in the tournament, unlike this one, on a neutral court, again, they're as good as anybody else, and they're peaking. And that's what you want to be doing right now anyway. You want to be peaking at the right time. You don't want to be going backwards. And I think, yeah, they lost to Illinois, but it was in double overtime. And, you know, then you go to Indiana, and we all thought there was going to be not a blowout, but we didn't think it would be close. And they went up there, and they played like it was their last game. And in a tournament, that's definitely possible.
Yeah, for some reason, I see this one being – I should, you know, there's a part of me that says Edie is a one-man gang. And for a couple games, you know, they can ride that horse to 39 and 20 rebounds. But I got a feeling it's going to be Michigan or Michigan State. How many times do you think Tom Izzo will be buried by opposing fans? I mean, has there ever been a coach who has been – you know, underestimated, oh, he's done more than Tom Izzo has been buried by opposing fans? I don't think so.
Oh, it's amazing. And then every year it's like, oh, this is going to be the year. He's not very good. You know, they're not going to be very good. Now, they can't say that next year because with that recruiting class that they have coming in, if some of these guys come back and you throw in like a Xavier Booker and some of those, it's like, these guys can be good, man. I mean, yeah, they got a chance to be really good next year. So,
yeah, that's why I just get a kick out of and you know, for those people listening, you know, when myself, Brad, or Ked makes a positive comment about Tom Izzo on a message board, it's duck and cover because the incoming is so quick. But I got to be honest with you, he's the coach that, you know, if Illinois, you know, had somehow been able to keep self, it would have been great. But certainly a Tom Izzo is about the perfect coach for a Michigan State fan has to be so excited about what he brings to the table every year, regardless of how good his recruiting classes are.
Yeah, Izzo's proven. Yeah, they win in the Big Ten. He's won Big Ten titles, but he's also won in March. You know, I think that's where – you know, he's been doing it for a long time, so you got to give him, you know, it's been a while. But that's where I think most of the other Big Ten coaches, I mean, you had John Beilein who won in March. And obviously that was the knock originally. Remember, for a while, that was a knock on Bo Ryan. Wasn't winning in March, you know, and then he did, right? He gets the national title game, couple Final Fours. So I think that Izzo does both. You know, that's kind of the knock. If Matt Painter gets to a Final Four this year with Purdue, I think that there's not, you know, he's going to be thought of as a, you know, one of the best in the country. You know what I mean? I mean, I think because he's won Big Ten Coach of the Year, he's won Big Ten titles, he's done it all. He just hasn't gotten past the Elite Eight yet. Although I would say that he got a rough draw that or rough break that 1 year, you know,
yeah,
Carson Edwards year, you know. So, but still, yeah, he's so Painter's probably right up there, and but Izzo's the guy. I mean, he is the guy in the Big Ten. Like nobody, I think they all think that he's the best coach in the Big Ten when you look at everything put together, his history, what he's done. Maybe not. I mean, yeah, he's just got such a great track record for winning. So, yeah, kudos.
You know, traditionally, I don't. In the when the tournament starts, I'm not now that I'm a little bit older. I do want to see the Big Ten win because one, they've snuck in the tournament. But I'm an Izzo fan just because Tom Izzo was trying to change, in my opinion, trying to change the perception of Big Ten basketball. He was the one team that was getting out and running before other teams started to, before Illinois tried, before Michigan, before Iowa, because Tom was always pushing that ball down the throat in two passes. You know, they were getting a layup or a dunk. And that's why I became fascinated with him, you know. And I'm going to tell you another team, and gosh, I can't believe I'm going to say this on a podcast, but Iowa, I mean, they have the potential to do well. I mean, and – you know, I was talking to a couple of basketball gurus, you know, today, and they finally agree with me. You got to get the right matchups. People want to criticize Brad Underwood, but I'm going to tell you what. When they played Loyola and Ken Palm was ranked one of the top 10 teams. You saw how good Houston was. Illinois did not get any favorable matchups. If they would have played some of those other teams in 8-9 games or teams that weren't that good, they would have probably advanced as well. The matchups really make a difference, and I think you got to be able to exploit those. So, I mean, advancing is what Illinois wants to do right now. And for me, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I don't care if they – I want to see them beat Penn State. I don't even care what else happens after that because I want to advance. I want to see them – I think from a recruiting standpoint, I also have to say the transfer portal standpoint now because that's a big part of college basketball. And if you're in the transfer portal and you got two guys that made all Big Ten, I don't know how you can give Illinois a look because some coaches don't utilize it. Brandon McCaffrey is not a big fan of it. Izzo's not a big fan of it. Greg Gard's not a big fan of it. They have transfers, but Illinois hits it hard. So I don't know. I'd like to see them advance. That's my big thing right now. The Big Ten tournament's great. It's fun, but I want to see them advance.
Yeah, the transfer portal is interesting to me because it's nothing more than a tool. So I've never been like on a construction site where a construction worker tells me, you know, I don't like using hammers. So I use a screwdriver all the time. You'd be like, what are you doing? You know, to me, it's like you want to put together a winning roster. You can recruit out of high school. You have the opportunity of transfers. You can pull people internationally. And so you got to figure out what mix gives you the best roster. And I don't have any particular love for a player if they come out of the transfer portal of their high school. Just get good players. I don't care. I don't care where they, if you find a way to plant a seed and you can water it and it turns into Terrence Shannon Jr., then, you know, fine. You know, I don't care.
I think that the transfer portal obviously was huge for Illinois this year when adding Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon. In past years, you would have had more of a rebuilding year, because you wouldn't have been able to get guys who could play immediately to step in, and you had a bunch of high school kids playing, and obviously it's different. So I think that's how it's changed. It allows you to be competitive almost immediately, no matter who you lose. I mean, you can replace and be competitive. Look at Kansas State. They have those guys back. They have a few guys back, don't get me wrong. But they just went out in portal and got guys to fit next to Noel and Amut, whatever his name. I don't know, the kid transferred from Georgia Tech or whatever. So, but they just found guys to fit next to him. And so it makes, you know, that's what Illinois has to do next year. Like, I think they really expect – you know, a Jaden Epps to get a lot better next year and really get better and become really good. I think, you know, they expect to have, you know, get more out of Dane Danger, get more out of an RJ Melendez, have a healthy Luke Goody all year. I think there are a lot of things that they want. At the end of the day, though, they need more guys. you know, you got to add more players, and I think they will. They expect Ty Rodgers to be really, really good next year. And so that's where they're going to make that, you know, but they got to add pieces in there that can come in and play right away. And because of, you know, the mistake that probably Illinois made this year was relying on a freshman backcourt. I mean, you know, they brought in, and I'm not even begrudging them bringing in those guys, but they brought in, they didn't bring in two freshman guards, they brought in three freshman guards. And that is hard. One, we kind of, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of thought there might be some issues with playing time when you have three guys, right? And they all want to play the same role, kind of. And they're different, but at the same time, yeah, it's hard to bring in three of those guys that are very similar. Like next year, they're bringing in two, you know, with Draven Gibbs-Lahorn and Nico Moretti. But they're very different, yes, but they're two guards that are kind of guards. And you, so they can't bring in another guard who's a freshman. You can bring in another guard who might be an upperclassman, you know, come in for a fifth-year guy or a guy who's coming in as a junior or whatever, but you can't bring in another freshman. So I think that's where they made the mistake, and hopefully they'll learn from it this year.
Well, I think they tried, and you know this as well as I do, both of you. They tried. I know Courtney Ramey was a guy that they tried, and you know it just didn't work out. And sometimes you just get outbid with NIL money. At least that's the way I look at it. And I think from a playing time standpoint, I think Sincere Harris kind of surprised a lot of us. I know me personally, I thought out of all the freshmen on the roster, I thought he played the least amount out of all those kids. That's what I thought, but he proved us wrong. And he's another guy. I think Illinois can, I think they need two solid transfers because you don't know. We all talk about who's coming back and who's not, but I think they need to find two more studs. But I think for them to take the leap, to be one of the top two or three teams in the Big Ten again, you know, you got to get transfers, but you have to be able to, number one, teach Dane Danger how to defend and drop coverage because that's just not something he's good at. But the day Ty Rodgers and Sincere Harris can shoot 35% from three and 65% from the free throw line, the game's going to change for Illinois because those two kids can get to the rack, they're strong enough, and they're not liabilities. I mean, when I don't know about you guys, but when Sincere Harris makes a three, I look around and see who I'm standing next to because they're going to applaud because we're all surprised that it goes in, and he did it against Purdue, you know, and he made one. So it's there. They just – those kids need to get better. And I'm not going to fool myself this summer and say, oh, my gosh, you know, Sincere Harris is going to come back and he's going to be the second coming because we did that with RJ Melendez and we saw how that worked out. So I got to see it in games. The potential's there, but what they could be and what they do are two different things.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. You know, it – to me, the interesting thing on recruiting is it's easy to second guess, you know, folks because they make a decision. But you have to think about, for example, if Illinois had passed on Sky Clark and they ended up missing on Ramey, the Illinois fan base, at least the vocal part of it, would have been like, what an idiot. You could have had Sky Clark and you didn't get Ramey. Boy, that was the dumbest maneuver of all time. And I think sometimes you have to judge, and coaches will probably agree with me, sometimes you have to judge the process, not necessarily always the result. And I think Michael Jordan said it once. I saw a film of him back in the 90s talking to a bunch of parents, ironically, of basketball players. And he said, look, he goes, when I shoot the last shot of a game and it doesn't go in, he goes, I just try to learn from it. And I know that the next game, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make it that time. And he said, but I don't sit there and get down on myself because I missed the shot at the end of the game. I just try to figure out what I can do better the next game to get a better shot. And to me, sometimes when you follow a process and it doesn't work out, sometimes it just doesn't work out. I'm not certain there's a planet, and Brad, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not certain there's a world that Courtney Ramey and Sky Clark both show up at the same school. So it's easy to say, well, I would have got both of them. But I'm not certain that was ever possible in terms of somebody coming here to play like Sky Clark wanted to and some you know, a veteran who isn't coming here to sit behind a freshman either. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, you know, it would have been great if, you know, Illinois would have got, you know, the top five recruits in the country, but that probably wasn't going to happen either.
Every year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not against it, Brad.
Yeah, I don't think Ramey and Clark were ever going to come to the same place.
And they got Clark first, correct? They had a couple months ahead of
Yeah, him. And then it was before Ramey could even
Right. So Clark basically was, you know, coming in the transfer portal, and Ramey wanted to make a decision. Do you take the bird in hand, or do you take a risk waiting on a guy and losing both? And I'm not certain. I don't know that if I was in the coach's shoes, I don't know if I would have played it any differently.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, probably not. But it's, you know, everybody, we got to gripe about something, right? People have to gripe about something.
Because... Well, you know what I gripe about in recruiting. You know, I always have a gripe. But
yeah.
Well, you know what, though, if you talk about waiting, I mean, look at what would have happened if you would have waited on Matthew Meyer and then Pete Nance would have went to North Carolina. Then you get no one.
That's exactly. You know? I mean.
So you can't do that. You got to take the hand and you got to go with it. And I'm impressed with Illinois. I can say to you, I'm glad Matthew did that.
Pete Nance may win a title, though. NIT title.
I would say, yeah, the not interested tournament.
Sorry, that was too soon. No, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty, but yeah, no. Anyway, Big Ten tournament. So we got to pick our winner, right? Who's our winner? Who's winning, Cags?
Okay, if I had to say who's going to win it right now, I'm going to go with Sparty.
Mike.
Nah, Brad, you go. I'm a host.
No, Mike. I started. I asked the question.
That's right. He asked the question, Mike.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with the ultimate dark horse. I'm gonna go with Michigan.
Damn you! One of us.
You want to?
You know that you and I do this to each other all the time.
All right. I'm going with Indiana. I like Indiana to win the. I think Illinois gets to Indiana. Indiana beats them and. Then Indiana wins the Big Ten tournament. Because I just can't pick.
They it's pull off fun the to, three the three victories in 1 year, too.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's so fun to pick Purdue. Like, it isn't fun. Like, no, Purdue's going to win. They won the Big Ten by three games. They're going to win. Yeah, right. That's no fun. I got to pick somebody
Folks,
else.
If you listen to this podcast, don't believe Brad. He didn't want to pick Indiana. He only picked Indiana because I picked Michigan State and Mike picked Michigan.
Correct.
He knows Illinois is going to beat Indiana.
I just – <I'm> just
He had to pick somebody.
You took my people. You guys took my people. That's how you are.
Okay. I tried to let you go second, Brad.
I should have taken it. Then what would you have picked Michigan still? If I had picked
no,
Michigan?
I wouldn't have picked Michigan. Then I would have copped out and went Purdue and taken the easy pick. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, it. A lot of this comes down to. Who gets on a hot streak shooting wise and who can stay out of foul trouble? You know, I mean, look, Purdue's a fantastic team, but let's say that Zach Edey gets two foul calls in the first 3 minutes of the first half. You know, now all of a sudden some team has an opportunity to jump all over Purdue. You know, or let's face it, Purdue's got two freshmen who, you know, are record setting, you know, shooters as freshmen for Purdue. And if you look at it, you know, what would happen if they go cold, you know, for one game and Michigan, you know, is hot that game, you know, you end up in a tough place. Right now, Brad, where do you see Illinois as a seed right now? And tell me how they – And again, you're just going to give us a guess. We realize nobody knows where they're at right now, but where do you think they are right now? And then how do you think they fall down a level, and how do they go up a line?
So I think Illinois right now is an eight. I think they're a solid eight. I think they're a middle, maybe a second or third eight. So they're right there in the middle. I think for them to move down, it won't matter. 8-9 doesn't really matter, right? I mean, that's irrelevant. Right. So I don't think they drop below 9 unless weird things happen.
Right.
A bunch of 10 guys who I would put on the 9 or 10 line, like, or 10 line, win two games, and Illinois lose Penn State. They could maybe, I think their bottom level is a 10, but I think they're in the 8-9 game right now. For them to move up, I think they have to beat Penn State and they have to beat Northwestern. If they win those two games and then somehow, and then some other teams lose early, you know, let's say a Missouri loses their first game in the SEC tournament, I could see them sliding onto the, now the other way they could get to a 7 is based upon draw. So let's say they have Michigan State, Iowa, Illinois, whoever on the 8-9 line. So Purdue's one of the one seeds. So those teams can't be in the same section as Purdue. Purdue and UCLA could, let's say Purdue and UCLA are ones. Well, Illinois can't play, no, none of them can play Purdue. Illinois can't play UCLA. Maybe they slide them to a 7. It's because they don't want to have that quick early matchup. So they could slide up to a 7. They try and keep that seeding, but outside of that top 16, it's just kind of, you could be a 7 or an 8 or a 9, and they just slide you because, oh, we don't want to have that rematch. Right. Or we want to have this good matchup. You know, so these are weird things that happen. Or maybe they want Kansas and Illinois to play in the second round. I mean, that's possible because, yeah, we saw this. You know, we've seen this before. You know, the Illinois fans, they get fired up to play Bill Self. This will be a fun matchup if the Illini can win this. So that happens. So, I think that's possible. I think anywhere from 7 to 10 is realistic. Even if they win the Big Ten tournament, I don't see them moving above 7.
Okay.
I think it is, I mean, unless some weird stuff happens, I don't think they can pass that many people.
Ked, you got any bracketology thoughts?
I think, for me, the ideal thing is playing in the Big Ten. I'm not going to eliminate that they beat two of the top 10 teams in the country. I think that matters. I think I know they've lost some games that they probably shouldn't have lost. I don't think they really have any really truly bad losses. They are. I'm sure it's just skipping my mind or my memory. I'd like to see them sit at a 7, but I think because that's all we've seen, they're probably going to be on the 8 or 9 line. But also, I will say this. I've seen so many selection committee directors come on and say when they talk about a certain team, oh, it didn't matter what they did in the tournament. You know, their resume was already built. I think Illinois is one of those teams. I think their resume is already built. I don't think it's going to matter. I think if they won the tournament, that might change. But I think if they won 3 games, I still think they're going to be around that 7 spot. I don't want an 8 or 9 game. I think I don't. I like to see them get a 7 because I think they could be any 2 seed that could possibly be. I said it could be any 1, but the odds are better if you're facing a 2 seed.
You know, I think the interesting thing is if you look at some of the online gambling sites, they'll talk about, getting to the second round. And to be honest with you, it's interesting because the 7 does really much better than the 8 or 9, and the 8 or 9 does much better than the 10. So I guess if Illinois wants to go, it'd be better to see him, you know, just from a statistical standpoint, it'd be better to see him pop up to the 7 line than drop down to the 10 line. Although I think one of the things that I've heard Andy Katz talk about is that Illinois is probably more talented than their record and their seed.
He did say that. I saw that too.
And I think that is something to think of. Kentucky, I think, would fall into that category.
But, you know, then I go back to, Mike, are they, because they got two guys get mentioned on all Big Ten. Two total guys. Nobody honorable mentioned. Ohio State had more guys mentioned. They finished 13th.
Are they
talented, or do we just like to say they're talented, just sound cool? Teams that finished even
with them. Those guys that got left off. I mean, I'm going to call it spade.
Coleman Hawkins got screwed.
Coleman Hawkins got screwed, and he really did. And there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when if you watch the press conference from today, he was mad about it. His dad took the Twitter and took the high road. But it's not the fact that you're covering Illinois fans. I mean, we cover Illinois. Again, I put it on Twitter. I have tons of followers, and nobody challenged me that he would not start for any other team in the Big Ten. I am not stupid. I know that's not how the voting process works. The method to my madness was he was good enough. That kid that he orchestrated. There's not a guy in the conference that can play point guard. Terrence Shannon, who made first team all Big Ten, started the game on Sunday playing point guard, and then he couldn't finish it. And who ended up doing it was a 6'10", 6'11" center, forward, wing, whatever you want to call him. But he's not good enough to – sorry, I'm just not buying it. I didn't like that. That one set me off. I was hoping you guys would bring it up, but it really did.
Well, honorable mention. I'd have been fine if he's mentioned. Just let him be mentioned. Honorable mention. I could live with that. But
yeah, Myers Leonard was honorable mention. You know, if you want to go back, I thought Coleman Hawkins probably should have been on the all defensive team.
Because he did a pretty good job against multiple guys.
Yeah, I like Sincere Harris too, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't care. He's a youth, but Sincere Harris was tough.
I would have not, and I know Illini fans aren't going to like this, but I probably wouldn't put Terrence Shannon Jr. on the first team. For me, I would have probably had him as a second team guy. So he got on one of them as a first team. Awesome for him. The kid's got a great attitude. All for it. But I probably myself wouldn't have put him there, and I probably would have put Coleman Hawkins on the all defensive team. You know, again, Edie is a dominant force. I'm not certain if he was that dominant of a defender this season. I thought he may have had a better defensive season last year. But,
yeah, you know, I agree with that. I think the other thing, last year, Edie could play defense differently because he had Trevion Williams with him too.
He could take some risks.
And he's only going to play 20 minutes. Coleman mentioned that the other day in a post-game press conference. He said, I can't play defense the way I want to play defense because I can't get in foul trouble. We saw that against Purdue. He plays 6 minutes, or for 6 minutes in the first half, 22-6 Purdue run, bust that game open. Well, now you're really chasing in the second half, and he basically played the entire second half with those fouls. So, as Brad said, I probably should have brought him back in sooner. But, you know, hindsight always works. But, yeah. No, I agree. I think Coleman Hawkins could have been all-defensive team. Even if he didn't make honorable mention, if I could have lived with that. So he's mentioned. Matthew Meyer, obviously, I think he deserved to be third team or honorable mention. He had a really good Big Ten season. He had some really good games. Early on, he struggled. Terrence Shannon, I think, would have been better on the second team. That would have made sense for me.
Yep.
I agree with that. I think Matt Painter should have been coach of the year. Kudos to Chris Lowry for being assistant coach of the year, by the way. What a great job they did defensively this year under Lowry's tutelage. A lot of those you know, back in the days playing under, you know, coaching under Coach Weber and that tree obviously worked out pretty well for him. So, but overall, I think it was fine. I just don't know if that Illinois is the most talented team if you can only put two guys mentioned. I mean, you can't as a coach tell me, well, they're the most talented team, and then I just don't name any of their guys in the all-conference team. They're just – don't tell me that.
I probably know what happened.
Maybe it was all the faces that the referees. I mean, I think that's probably Coleman wears his emotions on his shoulder, and he didn't score a lot this year. And I think that was taken out by some of the voters, particularly probably on the media side, where, you know, because the coaches understand the value of a Coleman Hawkins a little bit more. But the media guys, they don't really know him, and it's just he's always upset at the calls, and I'm not necessarily saying that I disagree with him. And then he didn't score as much, and I'm sure there was a little bit of a
– Why does McCaffrey make it then?
Because he's the coach's son.
Well, that shouldn't matter.
A lot of things shouldn't matter, Brad. You know, is a foul – Ked's favorite one is a foul at the beginning of the game, the same as a foul at the end of the game. It should be, but we all know it's not.
That's fair.
I just sent you that video with Coach Underwood.
But at least when that happens, it's the spur of the moment. These people got to vote on this and think about it and look things over. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I mean, look,
I don't have a vote anymore, so whatever.
Yeah, I look at it the same way though. Is it's, you know, like I said, they don't know the players. I mean, like for instance, you know, the other thing I have to duck and cover is one of my favorite players is Hunter Dickinson because he actually tells you what's on his mind instead of what's good for the team. And I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't want him on my team because he would cause all these problems. But as somebody covering a kid, I love the fact that he'll tell you exactly what he is. He is transparent to a fault.
Oh, no question. I love, like, here's the thing. I love having him be a guy that I can interview at Big Ten Media Days because I know he's going to say something that people are going to go nuts over. Whether it's, and you can ask him questions. You can. He doesn't even like try and sidestep questions. You know what I mean? Like other guys used to. There used to be guys who were so polished. I love Io DeSumo, but he was so polished, he never said anything, give anybody any kind of line. Hunter Dickinson gives you bulletin board material every time he opens his mouth.
Well, you know still what I mean? Look at that podcast that he had that he told people there's no rivalry between Michigan and Illinois because all they do is beat us. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to that kid, and then, you know, it's the same person who goes on the Wisconsin diatribe. But he gives you his honest opinion. And so what we do in today's world is we go, well, that athlete isn't telling us anything. That's the most one day at a time, take the next game, blah, blah, blah. And fans are like, well, that's worthless. And then when somebody does tell you their honest opinion, I can't believe he'd say that. Why would he say that?
I think the best soundbite guy in the Big Ten is number 24 for the University of Illinois, Matthew Meyer. Wow. He is awesome.
He's right up there.
Oh, he's great. The thing about Meyer, though, I'm not sure what he's saying. Like, sometimes it's like, you know, he's talking about monster energy drinks. He's talking about, you know,
his diet, his sleep.
His diet, his haircut, I mean, it's just random stuff, dude. I mean, that video, what video games he's playing, it's fantastic. I love it. But at the same time, he's also the Big Ten Sportsmanship Award winner for Illinois because he's just so – he's like, that guy made a basket. Dang it. I missed. Dang it. You know, he's just – I love Matthew Meyer. I think he's one of my favorite guys that I've covered in Illinois. Yes, no question.
Me too. He is by far – I sit here and I dread the fact that he wasn't there for 4 years. Can you imagine having a guy like him around for 4 years, the fun that that would be? Because he doesn't let things bother him. I mean – when he comes out of a game and it's intense and you're sitting here and you're tense and freaking out and he's on the bench clapping his hands and looking up at the sky and looking at the fans and winking at people. He is – he was good. Illinois needed him this year because I even think there was times when Coach Underwood got mad from my understanding in the locker room. He was like, look, man, you got to chill with this stuff. I mean, it's not that serious. Yeah. That's the kind of guy he is. And so, but Mike,
I think he's been good for Coach Underwood. I really do. So do I think a guy who's, and because it's not that he doesn't play hard. I mean, he cares. Don't get me wrong. That guy's a winner. I mean, he cares. He's won a national title, right? So he's done some good things. But I think that sometimes he has great perspective on things. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, he has some really good perspective. So I enjoy him. He's great.
So we've kind of got to the end of our Big Ten episode. Ked, do you have any final thoughts here as we went a little far afield at the end?
You think?
Yeah, part of that's my fault bringing up all those comments. I will. Here's my final thought, and this has been Kedrick for the last football season till the end of basketball season. Illinois will advance as far as the officials allow it. How about that for a closing statement?
And I always get blamed for when you go off on the refs. Everybody blames me. And I'm like, I didn't even say it.
Me. I'm the worst of all of us. I'm not even going to hide it. I'm the worst.
All right. Brad, you're going to have a hard time topping that, but go ahead.
No, my big thing is I'm excited to see a Big Ten tournament. I always enjoy it. It's in, you know, Chicago, which is a great, great town, obviously, a great place to go. See this happen, you know, at the United Center. And so I'm going to have a great time. I'll be there on Thursday night, watch the Illinois game, cover that for Illini guys, and we'll go from there. But I really like where, you know, I'm with Brad Underwood. I wrote a story today about how, you know, they fooled me multiple times this year, and I'm buying Illinois stock right now. I think they're going to have a good March here. Whether it's Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament, I feel like they're going to have a run in them.
Perfect. Well, I tell you what, folks, thank you so much for listening to us. Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, thanks for coming on and spending some of your evening. We will go to this commercial break as we've wrapped everything up, and we are looking forward to talking to you right after the Illini game.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. If you enjoy what you heard, IlliniGuys.com is what powers Eye on the Illini. You can go there, register. You don't pay until the seventh day. It's $99 a year. It's the best money you'll spend if you want to follow Illini sports. And on top of everything else, it's interactive. You get to go into the message boards and you can talk with other Illini fans. You also have the opportunity to communicate back and forth with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, Larry Smith, Matt Stevens, myself, and it's a lot of fun. So please go ahead and join Illini Guys. $99 a year, IlliniGuys.com, and hit the register button. We also have our two-hour-a-week radio show, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button. You'll see all the stations across the state, and you can find the one that's closest to you, figure out what day, Friday or Saturday, and what time we're on. We'd love to have you listen, and we'd love to have you call up the radio station or email them and thank them for having us on the air. We really could use all the support you have to let the stations know they're making a great decision. Thanks for doing that. And finally, we have our other podcast, Sturdy for 30, Ken's Recruiting Roundup, and of course, the podcast version of Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Along with this, Eye on the Illini. Anytime you can give us a five-star review, that really helps us as well. Please feel free to do that if you think we've earned it. Thank you very much, and we will hear everybody Thursday night after the game when we talk about the Illini-Penn State result. Go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.